Where is God in this mess? Sending his son ahead of you to preserve life. Where is God in the midst of history, pinning his son to the cross for you? Where is God in all this death, killing his son for you? Next time you're discouraged, remember the works of the Lord. God, in his determined purpose and foreknowledge, delivered him up. Our murderous actions did that, and it was God's way to save you.
It can be really frustrating at times when you find yourself in the middle of a mess to get your eyes off the mess and back on Christ. Much like Peter, out walking on the water, right? Doing great as long as his eyes are on Christ, but you start looking at the mess around you and you start sinking. And that is what we're reminded of today in Genesis 37, verses 1 through 36, and the life of Joseph as he heads off to Egypt. Here's Pastor Chris as we look at the progression of Joseph's mess.
Notice the progression, verse 4. They hated him. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. Jealousy is filling them. Verse 3, you'll notice that every time, intensity. In verse 11, it gets to the point of envy. Israel himself is angry. Shall we bow down to you? And then we come to the fourth R, which I call Joseph's righteousness. In verse 12, Jacob's concerned about his sons. They're dwelling in Shechem. Well, that's a reason to be concerned. They had already wiped out the whole region. So in concern, he sends Joseph to them. Listen to the beauty of this. Come, I will send you to my sons, the ones that I'm concerned about. And as soon as the father says, come, what does Joseph say? Here I am. I'll go. So Joseph goes in concern for his brothers to a far country. And he comes to a man and the man directs him. And in verse 16, Joseph says, I'm seeking my brothers. They all hate him. They all can't stand him. They want nothing to do with him. They have been giving over and over evil reports of him, sharing the concern of his father for his distant sons. Joseph loves them. Joseph goes to them and is pictured on a mission to bring back word to his father of them. At this point, the narrative goes well beyond just despising of Joseph. Notice the rejection here as he comes to Dothan. We read in verse 18 that they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what has become of his dreams. They conspire. It's appalling at this point, isn't it? I mean, the kind of anger and hatred toward a brother. The one character you might think that stands out here and is somewhat noble is Reuben. You know, Reuben says, let's not do that. We don't want to kill him. His intention was secretly to get back in his father's good graces after the whole Bilhah incident. Then we read the most disturbing section, verse, in verse 23. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat and drink. Notice the chain of events. They take him. They strip him. They strip him of all of his dignity. They leave him like a dead dog, naked, thrown into a pit. 16 feet were these pits. It was for refuse. It was for robbers. They launched him in there. You read one word from Joseph? Not a word. The worst is the total disregard of his life. They sit down and they eat a meal, you know. They sit down and they feast. Totally hardened consciences. while casting their brother into the grave. Despised, rejected. It gets worse. They look up. There's Ishmaelites traveling on the trade route with spices to Egypt. And Judah speaks up now. Judah says, you know, we really can't conceal his blood. We know with the Cain incident, God sees all everything. You can't conceal his blood. The blood will cry out from the ground. I tell you what we're going to do. Let's sell him to these traitors to take him down, and we're done with him forever. And so they do that. They take 20 shekels of silver and deliver him into the hands of foreigners. That takes him down to Egypt, to Potiphar. And the most painful ending to all of this is that the brothers then take that cloak and they dip it in blood. And they hand it back to their father. And they say, is this your son's? And what a tragic ending to Genesis chapter 37. Do you know whether this is your son's tunic? Jacob says, it's my son's. It's my son's. I go down to the grave in mourning. Ending here, the very scene is repeated that when he deceived his father with clothing, so now he's deceived. This is your holy family. This is your holy family. Joseph left for dead, hauled off to Egypt, gone. Now, I wanted to paint that as quick as I could. I wanted you to feel that, how dark the scene is, how bad it is. This is God's holy family. These are his people. Hatred for brothers, stripping him naked, human trafficking, left for dead, sold, tormenting your own father like this, the epitome of hatred, everything you could ever conjure up and put into a narrative of the brutality of humanity is right here. And thus begins the story of Joseph. Now, I could have a lot of good application today. I mean, hatred in homes, fighting, treatment of brothers. I think it would be a scandal to preach this as a passage only about sanctification. An absolute scandal. What do you think this is about? What story is this? You know it. What story? You know the story. God has a son. God has a son. A son in whom was all his delight. The elect one, whom he loved. This one had absolutely no sin whatsoever. None. Clean, pure, his own righteousness, spotless. He is the righteousness of God. He didn't come flaunting it. He made himself a servant, speaking God's word, making himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. His father was concerned. His father was concerned about a bunch of rebel sons out there. And his father said to his favorite son, go to my sons there. And the father sent his eternal son to these sons, to a fallen world, to a dangerous land where his brothers were. What did this favorite son say? Here I am. I'll go. Behold, it's written in the volume of the book, I've come to do your will, O God. I'll go. He cheerfully came with joy that was before him. He came to his sons. And he came seeking. He came seeking. This was the whole picture of his ministry. He was seeking the lost sons of Israel. He was going after them. And only blessing and not cursing. What did he do? For no cause at all. The whole while you study an entire New Testament of his brothers hating him. That's your whole New Testament. Who's this dreamer? Who is this wine bibber? We hated him. We esteemed him not. It grew. And it grew. Joseph's brothers conspired against him. And in Matthew 26, the elders and chief priests conspired against Jesus. He was arrested. He was sold for 30 shekels of silver. He was stripped naked. He was flogged. He was beaten. The mockery was upon him. We crowned him with thorns. And then imagine what we did when we stripped him. Imagine what we did when we stripped him. We handed this beloved son of the Father. We handed the beloved son into the hands of sinners. We gave him to Pilate, not Potiphar. How about this? A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for a wine vat and built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went to a far country. Now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from his vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another servant. And at him they threw stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully treated. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he sent to them saying, they'll respect my son. They'll respect him. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him, and they killed him, and they cast him out of the vineyard. A father who only loved, a father who only cared, gave his beloved son to us. And we took off those garments, those bloody garments. We divided them up, and we didn't even hand them back to him. We stole them. That was our response to God the Father for sending his son to us. You see, in Jesus we see the whole story, don't we? Isaiah 53 says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I want to ask this question this morning. Do you look at ISIS and say, how barbaric? I mean, they're cutting off heads. Do you look at ISIS and say, that is the most extreme version of barbarism? That is so barbaric. John McCain, we need to blow them all to smithereens and into the hell that they deserve. Amen. Violent, ravenous murderers they are. Guess what? You're no better than them. You did that to God's son. I did that to God's son. We chopped off his head. Gruesome, I know. And that's the way Peter preached. Remember? Him, first sermon in Acts. Being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Crucifixion was the worst form of torment you could do to somebody. You're the brothers. I'm the brother. And then he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, here's the response. What do we do? We did this to God's son. You ever feel that? You feel that you were the cause of that? We look at the mess around us and we look at the blame and we throw out the question, where is God in all of this evil that's happening? I mean, it just inevitably always comes. And You know, we see this sad world and all the terrible things that are happening, and we see what's happening in our homes and our families, and you feel like Psalm 77, has his mercy ceased? Has his promise failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? I don't see where you are in any of this. I don't see you working in any of this. I don't see you in this sad world at all. Look at it. Look at it. I mean, you could have stopped the cart going to Egypt. You could have stopped that. There he goes. He's gone. Thoughts of you trouble me, Lord. Thoughts of you trouble me. Where is God in this mess? Sending his son ahead of you to preserve life. Where is God in the midst of history, pinning his son to the cross for you? Where is God in all this death, killing his son for you? The next time you're discouraged, remember the works of the Lord. God, in his determined purpose and foreknowledge, delivered him up. Our murderous actions did that. And it was God's way to save you. You've redeemed with your people, your arm. He doesn't say Jacob and Joseph. He says the sons of Jacob and Joseph. He redeemed you. People who did this. People who act like this. Through this tragedy, God so worked his purposes that Joseph was sent ahead to save his brothers from death. No one saw it at the time. But when Joseph stood up, and if you ever wonder, this is why the whole story is so beautiful. You ever wonder how Christ responds to sinners now? What does Christ say? Listen to the words of Joseph. If Joseph can say this, how much more does not Jesus say this to us today? But now, do not therefore be grieved. Unreal. You know, unreal. An ISIS murderer? Don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me before you to preserve life. Don't be grieved that you did this to me, says Jesus. Repent of it, confess it, but I'll lift that. And you see, when we begin to think this way and we look at our afflictions and we don't see the big picture, I want you to remember this passage. This is the only thing I wanted to do. God is saying, look at the lives of Jacob and Joseph's sons. I redeemed those sons. And look at what I can do for you. So next time we wonder, where is God in this mess? Look at the cross. He had pinned his son there. Set your eyes there of faith and be cheered. He was smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. You don't have to be flagellant. By his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord did something so wonderful for you. He laid on him the iniquity of us. All. What's the response? Repent. Peter says, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is not just to you, but I'm going to include your children, says the Lord. And to all who are far off, whoever calls on me, that is for them too. That's the response the story demands. He loves us. He loves us. You're a great failure. I'm a great failure. But the Son went ahead. He's the captain of our salvation. He's gone ahead and he's promised we're going to meet up with him again. We're going to stand before him again. And you will be received by faith into his kingdom. The story of Joseph tells us that God has fulfilled his promises in life and in death, and he sent his Son to preserve our lives. Even though we did this to him, we'll see him again. In love and compassion then for one another, shouldn't that change how we respond? We respond to one another in the way that we love, in the way that we give, in the way that we cherish and treat one another. Christ did this for us. God gave his beloved Son. And I hope that's set afresh. We preach this message all the time and we say it over and over. And I feel like in the course of my ministry, I say it over and over. But has it set in? Look what he did for you. Look at his love. Respond by believing and trusting in his holy name, Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Genesis 37 and the story of Joseph. And surely there are many things that we learn from this. But ultimately, we learn how you've responded to us and what we did to you. Thank you for telling us this. The book of Genesis began with a terrible failure of the first Adam. And the book of Genesis ends with a remarkable conquest, telling us a lot about the success of the second and last Adam to come. And how thankful we are to know the gospel of our salvation and that you've treated us as adopted sons by grace. Thank you for loving us this way. Give us then strength and confidence to go forward in whatever life's trials are, to know that you're with us, that your face is shining upon us, and that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805 or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Well, as we promised, once again, here's Pastor Chris as we look forward to Monday's broadcast. It's a weekend in front of us, but I guarantee you next week, Monday's program, well, give a listen.
We don't mind the story of Joseph being somewhat about Jesus, somewhat, if we're convinced that Jesus came from good men. We'll take that. We'll take that for a good man like me. And then the Lord takes this giant cement block and just sort of drops it right on us with Genesis 38. And he starts the story and then he stops and he gives us a story to remind you how to read the Bible. To remind you how to read the Bible. It's as if God says, the story of Joseph is not about you rising to your own greatness. If you forget that, I want you to understand what is the truth of your story. I want you to remember through this glorious story, what is the truth of your story? Christ didn't come from moral people. He came from spiritually bankrupt people whose lives are exposed and whose lives are shameful. And God is drawing out the issue today to remind you of the wonders of grace. That's, I believe, the great intention today. It's to remind you of the wonders of grace.
And we'll get that reminder Monday here on Abounding Grace. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you then for Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.